Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalashuddha Mataji. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the topic Sri Sachidasatakam. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharajas.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I'll hand out the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the opportunity. I beg for forgiveness. Actually, I'm not able to go online. There is something wrong with my computer, I guess. I'm not able to do the live streaming, so I apologize for that. Could I continue just in the conference call?
Okay, Mataji. Thank you for letting me know, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajandraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, preparing our consciousness for the upcoming great festival, for which is so important to all of us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which is the most auspicious, the most blessed appearance day of Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as the son of Mother Shachi. So we thought that it would be very appropriate for us to meditate on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this very beautiful composition of 8 verses written by Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which is entitled Sri Sachisuta Ashtakam. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we all know, is one of the most leading associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had very special, very intimate pastime with Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. How Mahaprabhu transformed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from a dry Mayavada to the, made him relish the epitome of bhakti. That is the power of the transformational powers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Sri Sachisuta Ashtakam, written by Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Nava Gauravaram Nava Pushpasaram Nava Bhavadharam Nava Lasya Param నవహాస్యకారం నవహేవవరం ప్రణమామి సచీసుత గౌరవరం ప్రణమామి సచీసుత గౌరవరం ప్రణమామి సచీసుత గౌరవరం.
Translation: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu's complexion is the hue of fresh cream tinged with kumkum. He is the ever-fresh cupid who shoots arrows of newly blossoming flowers. He bears newer and newer moods of emotional ecstasies. He is fond of performing novel dances. He makes ever new jokes that cause much laughter. His brilliant luster is like freshly cast gold. I bow down to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Dhramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are very grateful to all of you for being here this morning and to all the organizers for giving us the opportunity to speak. Thank you so much. So here, Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we know how when Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he actually wanted to make his headquarters, you know, because it is said that after becoming a sannyasi, one should stay away from home, not stay near their family. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually wanted to go and make Vrindavan as his headquarters. But Srimati Sachi Devi, the glorious mother of Srimati Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she was so affected by the fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. She was so deeply affected by that. He left his young wife, his, you know, widowed mother. Both of them were, you know, very much dependent on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, you know, just took sannyas and both of them were devastated, and especially Sachi Mata. She then said that, my dear son, if you go to Vrindavan, it's too far away. What if I leave my body? How will you be able to come? Those days, of course, we know that there was no way that, you know, you get on a flight or you take the train. None of that facilities was available in those days. So the least that they could do is take the bullock cart and they would come, or travel by foot, which everyone almost did. So that would take months to come. You know, it would be months before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reach back to Navadvip from Vrindavan. So Sachi Mata insisted that, my dear son, please don't go so far away. Please, I'm begging you, don't go so far away. But rather, you can go to Jagannath Puri. It's not so far away. Orissa is just the next state to West Bengal. So you can go there. You know, at least you will be nearer to us. And if need be, if I fall sick or if I'm ailing, then at least you can come and visit at a short notice also. So hearing to this heartfelt plea of his, you know, blessed mother, Srinimai Pandit,
Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he immediately, his heart melted and he said, okay, no problem, Mata. You are telling me to go to Nilachal Dham. I will go to Nilachal Dham. I promise you, I will not go so far away from you. I will go to Nilachal Dham and stay there. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his journey to go to Sri Jagannath Puri. So when Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, you know, the entire path when Mahaprabhu was coming to Jagannath Puri, the entire road, the entire journey, Mahaprabhu was just, you know, absorbed in singing the glories of Sri Jagannath. Because Jagannath, you know, the form of Lord Jagannath, how did Jagannath manifest? We all know that it is Krishna himself, but Krishna is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that he is feeling the separation of Srimati Radharani. This is Krishna who is experiencing that how much love Srimati Radharani has for him. He's amazed by that love. He's amazed to even witness that kind of love. So therefore, you know, Krishna's eyes are getting bigger and he's just simply astonished by the amount of love, the surmountable love that Srimati Radharani and all of his devotees hold for Krishna. Krishna himself is astonished. So Krishna, when he is astonished, he manifests as the Ashcharya Roop, the astonishment Roop of Lord Jagannath, with his eyes becoming so big. And you see the red, you know, Jagannath's eyes are so beautiful. In fact, Lord Jagannath's eyes, the only three things that are most visible on his beautiful blackish moon-like face is both his lotus-like eyes and his boat-like smile. You know, Jagannath's smile is so enchanting. It covers half of the face of Lord Jagannath. And the rest of the half is covered by both of his, you know, really, really big, big, big eyes. The pupils are really big, and then there's white surrounding it. And there's, you know, so much of red that is surrounding the white portion of his eyes. It is said that the redness that is there around the eyes, it comes out of, you know, whenever we feel extreme love for someone, which is, of course, very, very difficult to experience in this material world. But, you know, when we feel extreme love for someone, we cry tears. You know, we can experience that in a mother and son relationship, in a mother and child relationship. When the child is in difficulty or when the child is extremely loved by the mother, the mother cries. The mother cries, you know, incessantly. They just cry, seeing the way their child is growing, or the, you know, just out of selfless love for their child. They sometimes cry. And when they cry, their eyes actually become red. You know, we might be experiencing that. So that actually comes when we are having, you know, exceptional love for someone, when we experience exceptional love for someone, and when we cry tears of ecstasy for them. So Lord Jagannath, you know, he is always, you know, just imagine the kind, you know, if you see the deities of Krishna, or if you see deities of any other, you know, any other deity, you will notice there is a tinge of redness in their eye. There's a small tinge of redness. Very small line, or a pinkish line, or a red line that is seen on the deity's lotus eyes. Or if you see any photograph of Krishna, the way they are painted, if you see the lotus eyes, they have a tiny tinge of red. But Lord Jagannath, he always has that, you know, almost like half an inch of redness around his eyes. So we can imagine how much, you know, to the epitome of love Lord Jagannath is feeling for all of us. Therefore, for all of us in Kali Yuga, Lord Jagannath is the most merciful, the most approachable manifestation of Krishna. He is the, that's why he's called Lord Jagannath. He is the Lord of the universe. And he is so merciful that he himself, you know, the main Archa Vigraha of the, you know, the main worshipable deity of the temple, coming out for a procession so that he can distribute his mercy to, you know, one and all without any discrimination. And anyone can climb up the Rath Yatra cart and they can go and hug Lord Jagannath. They can go and embrace Lord Jagannath. That is the mercy of the Lord of the universe. How much love, how much mercy the Lord has for us. He is giving us his Mahaprasad. He is giving us, you know, all of these, you know, so many important aspects, which is so important in our spiritual life. Lord Jagannath is making it so easily accessible. So the aspect of the Mahaprasad, how did that come into being? How is it that we are able to get the Mahaprasad of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is such a rare commodity? It is not something very simple. There's a very beautiful history to this. It is explained that once Narada Muni, the transcendental spaceman, he was one time very much, you know, interested in receiving the direct remnants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the plate of Lord Vishnu himself. He wanted some leftovers, which was tasted by Lord Vishnu. He wanted some remnants from that plate. So, you know, the etiquette, of course, is that, you know, he can't just directly approach Lord Vishnu and say, I want your Mahaprasad. He can't do that. He has to, you know, please somebody by his service. So he said, he thought in his mind that the best way to actually get this desire of mine fulfilled is that if I serve Lakshmi Devi, who is the most confidential servitor of Lord Vishnu, if I serve her, and if she is pleased by my service, then she will and may award me with the remnants and fulfill my desire of having the remnants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narad Muni, with this desire in his heart, you know, he was having this desire in his heart like a treasure, you know. He really, 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 really wanted this treasure of tasting the remnants from the plate of Lord Vishnu. So with this desire in mind, he approached the lotus feet of Lakshmi Devi and he just started serving her very menially. He started doing all kinds of services for her without much expectation. But he just wanted to please Lakshmi Devi. And with that service attitude, Lakshmi Devi gradually became so pleased. And she said, my dear son Narada, you are leaving everything. And you know, you actually are such a glorious person, my dear Narada, that you have disciples in every species of life. Starting from an embryo to even a snake, everyone is your disciple. You have a disciple in every species of life. Embryo. You know, like you made Prahlad Maharaj, who was in his embryo, in the womb of his mother Kayadu, you made him your disciple from the womb. So everybody is so much grateful to you, Narada, and you are leaving all of your preaching services and you're engaged in serving me, Narada. You should go out and deliver these souls. There are so many more souls to be delivered. Why are you doing this service to me? Why are you here? So then Narada Muni, with a very humble heart, he expressed his heartfelt desire. He said, my dear mother, I actually have one earnest desire. And my desire is that I want to taste the remnants of the, you know, from the plate of Lord Vishnu. I want to taste the remnants. And it is only you who can give me that. So with that desire in mind, I have been serving you. So if, my dear mother, if you are at all pleased with my service, then I beg you to please fulfill my desire. And Lakshmi Devi, she was put at a tight spot, and she said, "My dear Narada, I am actually not authorized at all, because anybody who tastes the remnants from the plate of Lord Vishnu is infused with the love of God. So I am so sorry, but I have been strictly instructed by Lord Vishnu himself that I should not be giving out the remnants of his plate to anybody. What can I do?" So then Narada said, "No worries, Mother. I am your servant, and I will continue to serve you for eternity. I don't, you know, I am not so attached whether you give me the Mahaprasad or not. I am just attached to serving you. So therefore, if you are pleased with me anytime, and if you feel that I deserve it, or I can accept, not I deserve, but I can accept the mercy in this way, then you can give it. Otherwise, I am very happy serving you." So Lakshmi Devi was, you know, really, you know, in a difficult situation. She was feeling so embarrassed that, you know, how is she going to ask her husband, or how is she going to, you know, even deny Narad Muni. So she was in a very difficult situation. So in a lot of tension, she actually came and she started serving Lord Vishnu that day in the afternoon. And when she was serving Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu realized, looking at the lotus face of Lakshmi Devi, that she is in some kind of anxiety. So when Lord Vishnu realized that, Lord Vishnu immediately asked, "My dear, beautiful wife, what has happened to you? Why are you so depressed? Why are you so disheartened?" And then Lakshmi Devi revealed that, "My dear husband, you know, this is the situation that Narada Muni, my dear son Narada, he has been serving me for these many years, and you know, he's been serving me, and he's doing this selfless service, and today he asked me for something impossible that I'm not able to give him." So then Lord Vishnu said, "What did he ask?" And then Lakshmi Devi revealed that he wants the remnants from your plate. And then Lord Vishnu smiled and he said, "Oh Narada, only he can ask for the impossible things. So it's okay, my dear Lakshmi. I cannot see you in so much anxiety, my dear Lakshmi Devi. So after I finish taking, you know, honoring whatever I have to eat, whatever is left on the plate, you can give it to him. It's okay." So Lakshmi Devi was so happy. She was in ecstasy. And she, you know, that day in the afternoon, after Lord Vishnu finished his meal, there was the leftovers from the plate of Lord Narayan, from Lord Vishnu's plate. She took that and she said, "My dear son Narada, please come here. Look what I have for you." And directly from the plate of Lord Vishnu himself, Lakshmi Devi gave, you know, Mahaprasad to Narada. And Narada Muni, receiving those, you know, grains of remnants of Mahaprasad from Lakshmi Devi, he was so much in ecstasy. Each morsel he was taking a bite and he was just, you know, diving into pools of ecstasy. Each bite he was taking, he was diving into pools of ecstasy. And he was just continuously, you know, experiencing so much bliss that he offered his prostrated obeisances to Lakshmi Devi for fulfilling his heartfelt desire of receiving the remnants of Lord Vishnu's plate. And he left from Vaikuntha. And he started, you know, singing the glories of Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi Devi and continued eating every morsel. He was eating, 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 and he was so much in ecstasy. And then he finally reached Kailash, the abode of the Param Vaishnav Sri Shiva Shambhu. He reached Lord Shiva's abode. And when Lord Shiva, who was deeply meditating on Sankarshan, when Lord Shiva saw Narad Muni, he said, "Wow, there is something off about Narad Muni today. Narada, what happened to you?"
And Narad Muni said, oh, my dear friend, Lord Shiva, you know what happened, you know what happened. And he just went on saying, you know what happened, you know what happened. And then Lord Shiva is saying, I want to know what happened, I want to know what happened, tell me what happened. Narad Muni was so much in ecstasy, it took him some time to settle down from his ecstasy. And then he revealed to Lord Shiva how he was the recipient of such confidential mercy, such secretive, supreme mercy coming from Lakshmi Devi, the Mahaprasad of the direct remnants of Lord Vishnu. So as soon as Narada revealed that he received this kind of mercy, Lord Shiva immediately, he frowned his eyebrows and he said, my dear Narada, I thought I was under the illusion that you are my friend. But is this what friends do? You have violated my friendship. How could you do this? And Narad Muni was a little, you know, he immediately, he just came out of his ecstasy and he said, oh, what did I do? What did I do? And then Lord Shiva said, you received such great mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan himself, and you did not even think about me. How selfish of you, Narada. You call yourself my friend, but you did not share this kind of mercy with me. I am so upset. Narada, I did not expect this from you. This is not done, Narada. Narad Muni was feeling so guilty at that time. And he was saying that, oh, my dear Lord Shiva, my dear Mahesha, I'm so sorry. And he was, you know, taking his hand and he was just going around his, you know, forehead and he was like beating his forehead. Narad Muni was, you know, repenting and feeling guilty that why he did not save little bit of Mahaprasad. And when he was putting his right hand over his forehead like this, suddenly his eyes spotted a grain of Mahaprasad which was stuck in Narad Muni's nail. He said, Lord Shiva, look, I am free from my guilt. Here is one morsel of grain from that Mahaprasad. It is stuck here in my nail. Please take it. And Lord Shiva, with great sincerity, with great devotion, he spread out his palms and Narad Muni dropped that one morsel of Mahaprasad on the palms of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva immediately just put that entire morsel of grain in his mouth. And then, lo and behold, no one could stop Lord Shiva. What happened after that? Lord Shiva immediately started such an ecstatic dance. It was like his Shiva Tandava. Tandava means the dance of destruction, the dance that Lord Shiva does at the time of the universal destruction. That dance Lord Shiva, you know, started performing. And the entire planetary systems, all the planetary systems started shaking in fear of the dance of Lord Shiva. And that time when, you know, this entire universe was shaking and Lord Shiva and Narad Muni, they were both in ecstasy. They were jumping around Kailash and seeing all this tremor happening. Parvati Devi, the wife of Lord Shiva, Param Vaishnavi, she is the wife of the Param Vaishnav, the greatest Vaishnava is Lord Shiva. And Parvati Devi, the wife of Lord Shiva, is considered to be the Param Vaishnavi, that she is the greatest devotee of Krishna. So when this Kailash was shaking like this, she came out from her inner chambers and she came out and saw that both these, you know, personalities are dancing in crazy ecstasy. She came out and said, my dear Narada Muni, and my dear, dear husband, it is not time for the universal destruction yet. What are you doing? Why are you doing the Tandava dance right now? Don't do it now. The universe is not yet meant for destruction yet. So please, why are you dancing like this?
And then Narad Muni and Lord Shiva, both of them started narrating what happened. Narad Muni first told his story. Then Lord Shiva said, then I told Narada like this. And then Narada found one morsel stuck in his nail and he gave me that. And this is the result. Look how much ecstasy I'm in. And then Parvati Devi started frowning. And she said, my dear husband, you are the greatest of Vaishnava. But how could you forget me? I am your Ardhangini. Ardhangini means I have to share half. I share half of all of your pious activities. Hare Krishna. I share half of all of your pious activities. So how did you forget me? Why did you not think about me? Why did you not give me half of that morsel of grain of rice that you got? And then Lord Shiva, you know, before he could feel guilty, he just thought that he'll joke a little bit with Goddess Parvati. And he told her that, oh, my dear goddess, my dear wife, you actually do not deserve this Mahaprasad. Because you are the jailer of the material world. You know, with your trishul, with your trident, you are making all the living entities who have forgotten their eternal relationship with Krishna, who have forgotten that they are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and who have chosen to enjoy separate from Krishna. You are the caretaker of those fallen miscreants. Those people who have forgotten God, you are taking care of them. So you are also fallen, therefore you do not deserve this special mercy. And as soon as Parvati Devi heard this, she was furious. And she said that I am actually doing this as a service to Lord Vishnu. The trident that I have, the trident that I hold is, yes, to inflict the threefold miseries on the living entities who have forgotten their relationship with Krishna. I do that, no doubt about it. But when they choose to surrender to Krishna, I actually, with using that same trident, I test them, I purify them, and then I, you know, sweep them to the other side. I help them to come to surrender to Krishna. So they have to go through me. So why are you saying, and whatever I am doing under the direct instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is my service to him. To fill, you know, first of all, to punish. And once they realize their mistake, once the living entities realize their mistake, and if they choose to surrender to Krishna, then I filter them out and then I bring them to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is my service to Krishna. So how can you say that I'm not qualified? So now, because you are giving this kind of an accusation on me, now I promise to you that I actually am Param Vaishnavi. I am going to not, you are, you know, criticizing that I am the jailer and I have miscreants under me. So I promise to you today that not only me, but everyone who is under me, all of my miscreants, I will make sure that this rare Mahaprasad from the plate of Lord Vishnu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mahaprasad, I will first honor it, and I will make sure that everybody who is under me, even they will honor it. That is my vow. And as soon as these words came out from the lotus mouth of Goddess Parvati, at that time, immediately, Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, he manifested in Kailash. At that moment, he just manifested. And he said, hey Kalyani, hey Katyayani, hey Parvati, why, what did you just say? How can you just say that, you know, you're going to make this rare thing, you know, of my Mahaprasad
available to everybody. That is not possible. So Parvati Devi said that, my dear Lord, nothing happens without your desire. The very fact that this statement I have made, it is by your desire. So therefore, now it is your responsibility to fulfill this and to make sure that this happens. So listening to this beautiful statement from Parvati Devi, Lord Vishnu was extremely pleased. And he said that today, with keeping Narad Muni and Lord Shiva as my witness, I promise to you, my dear Katyayani, I promise to you, my dear Kalyani, to you, my dear Parvati. So these are the different names of Parvati Devi. And he said that I promise to you that whatever you have said will come true. So when I manifest as Lord Jagannath, whatever I eat, my remnants will be first offered to you in your form as Bimala Devi. And then that prasad, you know, when it comes to you and you take that prasad, it will become Mahaprasad. Because it is said that when a pure devotee honors the remnants of the Lord, that prasadam actually becomes Mahaprasadam, becomes great mercy. So therefore, Lord Vishnu said that, and that Mahaprasad which you have tasted will be distributed to all the living entities around the world, whoever are in the material world. Anybody can access it. That is the glory of Mahaprasad. So this Mahaprasad is so, you know, whenever we offer to the Lordship, we offer, and then when we, before honoring the Mahaprasad, we say our prasadam honoring prayers, we should really mean it, that this is real Mahaprasad, and it's a very rare thing, not easily available, and it is a very, very important limb of our devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said, we can eat our way back to Godhead. What does Srila Prabhupada mean by that? That just by eating Krishna Prasad, we can actually go back home, back to Godhead. That is the potency of Prasadam, which was made available to us by the mercy of Narad Muni, mercy of Lord Shiva, and the supreme mercy of Goddess Durga, Parvati Devi. So, Lord Jagannath is so merciful. So, Mahaprabhu is remembering all of these, you know, amazing, amazing qualities of Lord Jagannath's mercy, that how Lord Jagannath is so merciful. He comes out during Rath Yatra. He is having, you know, he is the Lord who does not blink. Lord Jagannath doesn't have eyelashes. He does not blink. He just does not blink. With unblinking eyes, Lord Jagannath is drinking the nectarial ambrosial of the love of what his devotees are feeling for him. That's why with unblinking eyes, Lord Jagannath is just seeing that. He is just drinking the love that his devotees feel for him through his eyes, through his lotus eyes. So thinking of and meditating of these qualities of Lord Jagannath, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, taken on the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani and taken on the mood of Srimati Radharani also. So Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So here we have Lord Jagannath, who is Krishna himself, but who is astonished seeing the love of Srimati Radharani. That's why he is astonished. But here we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the other side, who is Krishna himself, who is experiencing himself the mood of Srimati Radharani. And when Lord Chaitanya came face to face with Lord Jagannath, the entire journey when Mahaprabhu was coming to Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu was constantly meditating on these, you know, ambrosial pastimes of Lord Jagannath. And he was singing this beautiful line of the mercy of Lord Jagannath.
and saying that, hey, Lord Jagannath, you are the object of my vision. Mahaprabhu was constantly singing this line, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Pathagami, Bhavato Me. Which means, my dear Lord Jagannath, may you be the object of my vision. That I just want to see you, my Lord Jagannath. So just singing like this, meditating on these qualities of Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu was running towards Jagannath's temple. And when both these lords came face to face, at that time, Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just collapsed. Like, you know, how when you see a candle, if you light a candle, how the wax melts, how the wax would melt by the heat of the fire, like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu melted just looking at the beautiful, majestic form of Lord Jagannath. Mahaprabhu melted in Lord Jagannath's presence. He just fell down like a stick and he actually lost his consciousness. He fainted in ecstasy, seeing the glorious form, the majestic form of Lord Jagannath. And when Lord Chaitanya melted, the golden body of Lord Chaitanya lay down in front of Lord Jagannath's temple, you know, in the Garbha Mandir. Garbha Mandir means the actual place, you know, where the deities are kept. Directly, you know, where the pujaris do all their seva, Mahaprabhu entered that particular room and he fainted right there in front of Lord Jagannath. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was one of the priests of Lord Jagannath, the high priest actually, and he saw, who is this sannyasi? Who is this beautiful personality? A young Mahaprabhu was only 24 years young at that time. He was in the epitome of his youth, a youthful sannyasi, filled, you know, filled with ambrosial youthfulness, you know, with so much beauty. Mahaprabhu's beauty was incomparable. You know, how this particular verse is saying that Mahaprabhu's complexion was the hue of fresh cream tinged with kumkum. You know, when you tint, when you put, you know, in cream, cream has that, you know, it's not milk. Milk is white in color. But if you see cream, cream has that yellowish gold kind of complexion. That is the complexion of fresh cream. Of course, fresh cream, you know, here in this country, sometimes fresh cream is also white in color. But I'm saying about the fresh cream, which, you know, if you take cow's milk, and then, you know, fresh cow's milk, if you take it, you boil it, and then you see that cream, the layer of cream that falls on top of the milk, that is a golden yellow color. You know, that is the golden yellow color of the cream. So that is fresh cream, actually. So it's a, you know, it's a light, you know, molten gold color. And just imagine tinging it with a little bit of red kumkum. Little bit, here and there. If you just put a little bit of drop of kumkum in that cream, how would that appear? So Mahaprabhu, when he would go into ecstasy, Mahaprabhu's cheeks would become so reddish. You know, it would become like the bimb of fruit. And Mahaprabhu's lips, so pink. Like, you know, his lotus palms, his lotus feet, always, you know, were the color of kumkum, the color of, you know, red. So like this, Mahaprabhu's complexion is described by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And this is the first time that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is seeing this golden complexion sannyasi. So he is describing that first vision that he had when Mahaprabhu melted and fainted in front of Lord Jagannath. This first verse is actually glorifying that particular scene. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is glorifying that particular scene where he had the blessed opportunity of seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's describing his complexion to be fresh cream tinged with kumkum. And he's the ever-fresh cupid who shoots arrows of newly blossoming flowers. You know, that because Mahaprabhu was so beautiful, he was so handsome. You know, Mahaprabhu, you know, especially as a sannyasi, you know, of course, Mahaprabhu, when he had hair, you know, as Nimai Pandit, Mahaprabhu's, you know, imagine his hair would be like this black, you know, soft clouds, you know, which is encircling a sun, his lotus face of the sun. It was so beautiful, Mahaprabhu would appear. But after Mahaprabhu took sannyas, his hair was cut off, and he had this perfectly round, beautifully shaped head. You know, all of us have seen many Abhishek photographs of Big Panchatattva in Mayapur. You can see that how Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, they have perfectly rounded heads, you know. And it is explained that Mahaprabhu actually had that perfect round head. It's very auspicious, you know, not everyone has that kind of a perfectly round head other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mahaprabhu's head was very, very, very beautiful, very beautiful. And so therefore, Mahaprabhu's beauty was insurmountable, you know, it's unsurpassable. It was so beautiful he is, you know, with his lotus eyes, you know, which would appear on his moon-like face, his, you know, strand, his, when Mahaprabhu would smile, you know, his teeth would appear like a strand of pearls. So gorgeous. And his sleek neck would open up to his broad lion-like shoulders. And again, his waist was very thin like that of a lion. And Mahaprabhu's arms were so gorgeous and elegant that they would reach out to his knees. Ajano lombita bhuja. His bhuja is Janu, it would touch his, you know, just near his thigh. Mahaprabhu's arms were so long, so, you know, delicate like that. And Mahaprabhu, his, you know, he would wear this beautiful sannyas robe, which was from his waist down to his knee. So Mahaprabhu would wear that kind of a sannyas dhoti, his saffron color dhoti he would wear, and Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So beautiful, and his entire body, you know, marked with tilak, 13 parts of his body marked with tilak, and, you know, his neck anointed with the kanti mala. Mahaprabhu would appear so gloriously beautiful. So therefore here, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying that he's the ever-fresh cupid. You know, so beautiful is Mahaprabhu. And he's saying that he bears newer and newer modes of emotional ecstasy. Why does he say that newer and newer modes of ecstasy? Because nobody before Mahaprabhu has ever manifested this kind of ecstasy, of melting in front of anyone. And when he melts, the body temperature of Mahaprabhu would rise to such an extent that the stone beneath him would also melt by the bodily heat coming from, emanating from the body of Sriman Mahaprabhu. He would melt the stones that he would actually fall down on. And it, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is going on saying that he's fond of performing noble dances. Noble dances means it was actually in Jagannath Puri that every single day Mahaprabhu would take out his sankirtan and he would dance on the streets of Nilachal. When Mahaprabhu would dance on the streets of Nilachal, it would really appear like Shonaro Parvato Jano Dhulate Lutai. Shonaro Parvat means a golden mountain. You know, Mahaprabhu's personality was like a golden mountain dancing in ecstasy. And when they would dance like this, anyone who would see this novel dancing of Gauranga Mahaprabhu would immediately be blessed with pure love for Krishna. And they would just incessantly start chanting. And Sarvabhauma is also saying here that he makes even new jokes that cause much laughter. Of course, this particular line he is referring to with the childhood pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu in his youth and his childhood days, Mahaprabhu was very, very naughty. And he would do lot of mischievous pastimes. He would do lots of joking around with people. He would actually play lots and lots of pranks with the people of Navadvip. And people would get so annoyed that they would actually go and complain to Shachimata that, look what your son is doing. So we will cover some of the childhood pastimes of this particular line next week. But moving on, he's saying that his brilliant luster is like freshly cast gold. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw this personality, you know, this youthful sannyasi, you know, falling down in, and losing his consciousness, immediately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya picked up, you know, got two men, two devotees, and they helped Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya pick up Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually had a secret passage that would take him from the Garbha Mandir of Jagannath directly to his home. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one, he was one of the high priests at the temple, and you know, he would live near a place called Shweta Ganga, you know, where Shweta Ganga is in Jagannath Puri. That just opposite Shweta Ganga is the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And it is almost like around a kilometer, you know, walk to from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house to the Jagannath Mandir is almost a kilometer's walk. So, actually less than a kilometer's walk. So, if he would come by taking the regular route on the road, on the regular road, then, you know, people would see him, he would get touched and he would get contaminated. So the king actually had made an underground passage that would connect Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house to the direct temple, to the Garbha Mandir of Lord Jagannath. That was the special privilege that this high priest, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, had, so that he can perform his services with cleanliness, you know, proper cleanliness to the Lord. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, using that particular tunnel, you know, that underground tunnel, he took the body of Lord Chaitanya, and these devotees helped, you know, helped to carry Mahaprabhu, and, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought Mahaprabhu to his own home. And by this time, Nityananda Prabhu and the others, you know, who were there, they, you know, who were traveling with Mahaprabhu, you know, Mahaprabhu actually left them behind because he was running to see Lord Jagannath. And by the time they caught on, they came and they were asking all over Nilachal, have you seen a golden sannyasi? Have you seen this, you know, mad-like man? He's golden in color and he's very beautiful. They were all asking. So then, you know, asking in this way, they finally came to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And that time, Mahaprabhu was still unconscious. And then Nityananda Prabhu then whispered, you know, the names of Hari in the ears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and revived him back to consciousness. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced himself, saying that I was the one who brought you from the temple over here. You fainted, this, that. He said all that. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, you know, really acknowledged by Nityananda Prabhu and even Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu immediately, you know, he had a specific purpose of staying at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And later on, during the day, that very day when Mahaprabhu was chanting, he used to go into ecstasy when he would chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya noticed this and he said, my dear sannyasi, you are such a youthful sannyasi. You know, I've never seen such a young sannyasi who is experiencing this kind of sentimental love of God.
you are on a very sentimental platform, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Mahaprabhu. So you should not just chant like this. You should actually read the Shastra. That will make you strong. You know, you should actually build your Shastric knowledge. That will make you strong. So then Mahaprabhu said that, you know, actually my Guru Maharaj, he saw me and he said that I am a fool and that I can only be delivered if I chant the holy names. And therefore he told me to chant, therefore I'm chanting. Sarvabhauma, you know, Bhattacharya was very impressed by the humility of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he said, yes, yes, that is true, that is true. But there is something higher than even experiencing this emotional, sentimental thing. You should really, you're a, you know, youthful sannyasi, you should know all the tenets of the Vedic scriptures. So don't worry, I will teach you all the siddhantas. I will teach you everything. So then for 7 days and seven nights, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was giving the Siddhanta philosophy, the Mayavad Siddhanta philosophy, to Sarvabhauma to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was quiet throughout the 7 days, seven nights. He did not, you know, even say one word. At the eighth morning, on the eighth morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked Mahaprabhu, he said, my dear sannyasi, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would call Mahaprabhu as Tarun Sannyasi. My dear Tarun Sannyasi. Tarun means youthful and sannyasi. So, my dear youthful sannyasi, my dear Tarun Sannyasi. For 7 days I have been speaking, but you did not ask me any question. You know, if you don't ask me any question, how will I know whether your understanding, you know, is okay or not? So, why don't we have some conversations? At least say yes, no, what? Mahaprabhu said, whatever you are saying, my dear Sarvabhauma Thakur, is all wrong. Your interpretation of the Vedas is completely wrong. And when he said this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's ego was very badly punctured by Mahaprabhu. And it was like a pinprick on the inflated balloon of the ego of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Mahaprabhu immediately punctured and let all the air out. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not take it. He said, how dare you say this? I am the advisor to the king. I'm the high priest of the temple. This, that, you don't know who I am? I am, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I have got this kind of title. I know all the Vedanta studies and everything. This has been my whole life. And you tell me that I don't know anything. How can you say like this? The goddess Saraswati resides on my tongue, and you are saying I'm not doing this correctly. What do you mean this, that? So Mahaprabhu, you know, the famous Atmaram verse, we all know how it was explained by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Mahaprabhu pointed out the different, you know, ways that actually what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was doing, the interpretation by him is wrong, and what the actual interpretation should be. Mahaprabhu told that. When he told that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was still a little jerky. He was very disturbed. And he left from there and he did not come out for 3 days. And then on the third day morning, Mahaprabhu, he had gone to visit Lord Jagannath. And while coming back from the temple, Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad, Mahaprabhu brought. And he entered the room of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And just that night, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a dream, you know, where it was revealed to him that Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna themselves. So, and Mahaprabhu revealed his Sadbhuj form. Sadbhuja means six-armed form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Six arms means he was displaying the two arms of Lord Krishna, you know, holding the flute, two arms of Lord Ramachandra holding the bow and the arrow, and two arms of Mahaprabhu holding bead, Japamala in one hand and Kamandalu in the other hand. So this was the form that, you know, was revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya by Mahaprabhu, which is called as the Sadbhuj form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the six-armed form. And then that morning when Mahaprabhu came to visit Sarvabhauma, he just entered the room of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Mahaprabhu gave him the Mahaprasad, and immediately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his obeisances and said, Mahaprabhu, please forgive me. You know, I have not even done, you are giving me this Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, but for 3 days, 3 nights I have been in this room. I have not done any kind of, you know, my morning, sadhana or anything. I have not even taken my ritualistic baths and everything. Not done anything. So then Mahaprabhu said, all of your rituals, all of your, you know, processes, all of that, you just offer it to me. I will absorb everything for you. From me right now, you just accept this Mahaprasad. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, immediately offered his obeisances to Mahaprabhu, and he surrendered at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and saying that I offer everything to you. I offer everything and, you know, accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was the transformation of Sriman Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he became such a wonderful devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you know, after he, you know, started chanting the Maha Mantra, and every day, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, although he was so old, he would actually go out on the Sankirtan every day with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the streets of Neelachal Dham. And he would actually encourage, and, you know, door to door he would go and beg everyone to take up the chanting of the holy names. That was the transformation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And in fact, the transformation was so great of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that one day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to Mahaprabhu with the words from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma is saying in one of his prayers, you know, after Lord Brahma realized his mistake that he had committed of stealing the calves and the cowherd boys of Krishna, when he realized his mistake, he came to beg forgiveness from Krishna. And one of the prayers that he offered to Krishna at that time was, Tattenu kampa susumekshamana bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam ritvakva purbhir vidatha namaste jive diyo mukti pade sadaya bhag. Which means, sorry, I don't have the translation in front of me, but which means that anyone who actually is always dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tatte anukampa susumikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam, that they know that, you know, only by gratitude can they actually get the complete mercy coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And such people are actually the true deserving candidates for mukti. Mukti sadaya padaya bhag, you know. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually came with this verse and he said, Mahaprabhu, I have one correction to make. Mahaprabhu said, oh, interesting, Sarvabhauma, what is your correction? He said, this line in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that it is mukti padaya sadaya bhag, it actually should be bhakti padaya sadaya bhag. That actually such devotees who cultivate this kind of consciousness for you, that they're, you know, gratitude, they're showing their gratitude to you in all conditions of life. Mukti is not their, you know, rightful, you know, claim. Actually, it is bhakti. So we should cancel mukti and we should replace it with bhakti. Mahaprabhu started laughing and Mahaprabhu said, yes, that is the actual purport. You know, that is the actual meaning. But let's not change the words of the Bhagavatam. But yes, that should be our understanding. So this way, you know, Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had very beautiful pastimes. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thus transformed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he composed this beautiful Sri Sachisuta Ashtakam. So today we will end here. If there's any questions, comments or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Mataji. Beautiful pastimes. I'm bringing into the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearance today. Thank you so much, Mataji. If anybody have any questions or any realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for wonderful class, Mataji. I just have one clarification, Mataji. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, when he left the home from Vishnupriya, so there is some reason behind that, right? So they will say, like, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, like, living the grihastha life. So there is some pastime related to that. Can you please?
Yes. Explain? Yes, there are many reasons. There were many internal reasons. There were external reasons. So some of the most external reasons were that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, what would happen is that when he came back after he was transformed in Gaya after he received initiation from Ishwarapuri, when Mahaprabhu returned back to Navadvip, he was a transformed man. He started displaying, symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna. And in that love, because Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So sometimes in those ecstatic moments, he would actually, many times he would be found to, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he would start remembering his, her sakhis, like Lalita, Vishakha, Champakalata, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Chitra, all of them, he would remember them. And, so he would chant their names and he would go into deep ecstasies. And the people of Nadia, the people of Navadvip, started misunderstanding, and they started saying, oh my God, look at this. Why is he taking the names of girls? And what is he doing? And, that kind of thing was happening. They were starting to ridicule Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were starting to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Mahaprabhu then thought to himself that the people of West Bengal, of Nadia, of Navadvip, if they are committing this kind of offense, then they will not be able to get pure love of God in any lifetime. It is impossible. So in order to stop them from committing such offense, I should actually take sannyas, because the people, the general people in the society, they respect sannyasis, come what may. They respect sannyasis, out of fear, out of any other given reason, they somehow respect the sannyasis. So Mahaprabhu thought that, if I take sannyas, then these people will at least not criticize me anymore and stop, the flow of mercy that is actually due to them. So if I take sannyas, they will at least respect, that respect will be there. They will at least not criticize me anymore. So therefore, he actually took sannyas. That was one of the reasons. The other reason also is that, people in general were so much, they would accept, this kind of message coming only if it was coming from a real authority, and in those days the society was such that when a sannyasi is saying certain thing, they are setting things as an example, then people would accept it, So just for the sake of accepting, making people in general to accept, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu took sannyas. That is some of the external reasons. The internal reason was that Krishna is actually indebted to Srimati Radharani. It is said that when Krishna left Vrindavan, when Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura, and when Krishna left Vrindavan, at that time Srimati Radharani, she actually wore saffron clothes, saffron robes, it is said. That because saffron, the color saffron, it signifies or it symbolizes renunciation.
it symbolizes sacrifice. So Srimati Radharani, in her deep love for Krishna, she actually sacrificed her, she had stopped decorating herself. She would just, you know, like a mendicant, Srimati Radharani started staying. She would wear saffron clothes and she would, you know, not decorate herself like she used to, and she would just be like a mendicant. So Krishna immediately knew that. He immediately knew that Srimati Radharani is doing like this. And at that time, Krishna made a heart-to-heart promise to Srimati Radharani that, Sri Radhe, I am indebted to you for your unconditional love. And I promise that I will reciprocate also with this act that you have done, you know, this ultimate, you know, the supreme a manifestation that you have shown of your love to me as the love of sacrifice, the love of renunciation that you have shown to me. I will show that same love to you. So to keep up that promise that Krishna had made to Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas just to reciprocate with the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is the internal reason why Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. I don't have a question, but I just want to say thank you so very much for the lovely class. The pastimes were so, I enjoyed them both very much, particularly the pastime with Narada Muni and Shiva and Goddess Parvati. Thank you so very much for the class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्ण जी कलासीता माता जी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम से प्रभुपाद से लग रुदय की जय एज यूज वेरी नेट सेम क्लास माता जी ऑल द पास्ट टाइम यू हैव सो मच पोटेंसी इन योर जपा एंड इन योर सर्विस दैट वी कैन फील दैट लीला माता जी वी आर नॉट क्वालिफाइड बट बिकॉज ऑफ योर आईज वी कैन फील इट माता जी कैन यू सिंग सिसी गौराष्टकम
गौराष्टकम मीन्स द सची सुताष्टकम
Yes, Sachi.
Sure. Thank you. I will. Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Very beautiful class and very beautiful narration of pastime. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mataji. So grateful to you. Thank you. Okay, if there's no more questions, I'll just honor the request of Vrinda Gopika Mataji and sing one verse from Sri Sachi Sutashtakam, the same verse that we started today, the first verse. So here it is. Nava Gauravaram Nava Pushpasaram Navabhavadharam Navalasyaparam Navahasyakaram Navahemavaram Pranamami Shachi Suta Gauravaram Pranamami Shachi Suta Gauravaram Pranamami Sachi Suta Gauravaram Jai Shriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Mataji, one more request. Can you sing Chachishastakam separately in a group?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Radhe.
Hare Krishna.